Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to be sharing with you guys today. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to 1 Peter. Man, worship was good, huh? Oh my gosh, great job, team. Great job, Lillian. Yeah, you can give it up for them, guys. Oh my. I was getting caught up, Mike. I don't get to be down here a lot. And I turned to my wife, I said, "Is it always like this?" She's like, "For the most part." It's like, okay, that's good. I like that. That's exciting. All right, so 1 Peter 5:5. Tell me when you're there. There. Awesome. Before I start, I'm trying to remember if there's something else I was supposed to do or say. I think I got everything. All right. You know, we have breakfast for everyone who serves in the mornings over here. And they had Dunkin' Donuts this morning. If you're not serving somewhere, Dunkin' Donuts. Here. You can show up at 9, start serving. It's 8. Show up at 8 and or 9, it depends on what ministry, right? I don't know what time everyone gets here. But anyways, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for this message series. I thank you for what you have already done today. You've done miracles in hearts already today. And I pray that you would just continue to move. You would continue to show off. You continue to demonstrate your goodness in lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So today we're going to be talking about grace. How many of you guys like grace? You know, it's important as Christians, and God really wants us to get to a place or get the revelation that we cannot live without his grace. We're in the series Independence. Independence, and it is so vital in our lives, in our relationship with God as we live every day, that we're dependent on his grace. That we live dependent upon the grace of God. Not on our strength, not on our abilities, not on our wit, not on our cunning, not on what we're able to do by ourselves, but dependent on God's grace. And what that exactly means for each person here this morning might be a little bit different. And I know that everybody is in a different place in their walk. Everybody's at a different journey with Christ. And that's awesome. That's how God wants it. We've got saved at different times, and we have different calls. And I love watching the grace of God come into someone's life and completely transform them. Completely transform their circumstance, completely transform their situation, completely transform their personality even. And you get to see the person that God created, the person that God had thought of when you were in your mother's womb, begin to come out, right? As he begins to shape us and mold us, like the Bible says, a piece of clay. And you know, it's funny. In Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." 24, "being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." So what happens is we get to a point in our life where we recognize, I need Jesus. I need to fix my sin problem. I can't do it alone. It's only by the blood of Jesus that I'm redeemed. It's only by his grace. It's only by his mercy. It's only by his forgiveness. We can't do this on our own. I can't fix my sin. I can't get rid of it. And we get to a place and recognize, wow, I need you, God. Right? Those happens. We recognize, I need you. And what happens is you become dependent upon Jesus in that moment. And you repent. You receive Jesus into your heart. The Holy Spirit fills you and gives you new life. And in that moment of conversion, in that moment when he saves you, there's such a recognition of your need for grace. There's such a realization of that, I need his grace. I can't do this on my own. I'm not capable of doing it on my own. I am dependent completely, totally, and utterly upon the grace of God for this. Salvation cannot happen by your own strength. It has to happen through salvation from Jesus Christ, right? So we start off our walk with Christ in this amazing moment, this amazing revelation of our desperate need for his grace. And what happens? We go back to living our life, and somewhere down the line, we think that we can start to do stuff on our own again. We lose that revelation of, I need to live independence of your grace. I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. And we look at our verse this morning in 1 Peter 5:5. Everybody good? Hallelujah. 11:32, all right. We look at our verse this morning, 1 Peter 5:5, and it says, you younger men. You younger men. Who's he talking to? Younger men. Who's younger men? He's talking to everybody because everyone is a younger man to someone or a younger woman to someone. We are all younger to someone, somewhere, to somebody. So right now, Peter is addressing everybody, saying, you younger men. So he's saying, you, everybody, right? He's saying, you, everybody. And what is he telling them to do? He says, likewise, be subject to your elders. Be subject to your elders. Let's look at that word subject. We got that word subject up there, tech team? Let's look at that word subject real quick. You see, subject is a verb, and it means to bring under one's control. That doesn't sound fun. Now, if you were here last week for Pastor Carl's message, he talked about this. He said, never surrender your free will to someone else. Never surrender your free will to someone else. Your free will is a gift from God. But in this message series, we're talking about honoring authority, submitting to authority, recognizing the grace that comes from authority, understanding the flow of grace into your life and out of your life, right? This is what we're talking about. But this word subject here, see, I'm preparing this week, I'm looking at this word, I'm thinking, to bring under one's control. Control is not from God. Control is demonic. To have someone running your life is ungodly. So I'm looking, I'm saying, Peter, I'm confused. What are we talking about? You want someone else to control my life? And I don't think that's what God is saying here. I don't think that's what God is saying here. You see, there's another definition for the word subject. Can we have that second definition up? See, a subject is a branch of knowledge studied or taught in school. See, if you read it that first way, it says, subject yourself to an elder. Come under the control of an elder. That's not lining up with the word of God here. Subject yourself to an elder, though. Come under them as if they're someone to study and learn from, right? If you're subjecting yourself to the subject of mathematics, you're learning the principles of math. But if I subject myself to an elder, let's say Henry, then I'm saying Henry is my subject. I am learning all of what Henry has learned as he's gone before me. So when it's saying subject yourself to an elder, okay, elder, I'm making you my subject. I'm learning of you. I'm following in your path. I'm understanding the truths you have gained so I don't have to mess up the things that you've already messed up. I can just get the good stuff. I like that definition of subject. But more than me liking it, it lines up with the heart of God, right? It lines up with the heart of God. So come under someone. You younger men, likewise, come under an elder. Learn from them. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Let's look at that word clothe. To endow, especially with power or a quality. Clothe yourself with humility. This is what the word of God is telling us to actively do. He's saying, you saint, you son and daughter, every day clothe yourself with this. Don't wait for me to do it for you. Get up and put on humility. He's saying, take this quality, take this power, take this attitude of humility, this heart of humility that you have learned from who? Your elders, Christ Jesus, the Word of God. Take this and put it on. Put it on. Put it on fully. Why? Well, let's look at the verse. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Oh, my humility is for more than me. My humility is for more than just so I can get the good God stuff. That's right. The humility is for the body of Christ. How you act towards your friends. How you act towards your spouse. How you act towards your kids. You know you still have to act like a Christian to your spouse, right? Amen. You know you still have to act like a Christian to your kids, right? Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what. I have a kid. You guys may know him. His name is Noah. He's great. I love him. And we were on vacation this week. And we're having a great time. We're with, you know, my family. And we were having a really good time. And a family friend, she said something this week that's so true. She said, when you have a toddler, you don't go on vacation. It's just a change of scenery. When you have a toddler, you don't go on vacation. It's just a change of scenery. And my wife shared that with me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. She's a genius. Like, my expectations have been drastically lowered from vacation mode to I'm just somewhere different. And you see, when you change a toddler's scenery, sometimes it's really good for them, but other times it affects them negatively. And we didn't get much sleep this week because Noah was in his crib. So, you know, around 1:30, 2 o'clock every night, he would wake up screaming. That was fun. One night in particular, he didn't just wake up screaming until we picked him up and consoled him. He just continued to scream, no matter what we did, for hours, screaming very loudly. I'm trying to get sympathy here. She was screaming, and we did not get any sleep, and it was really hard. Thank you. Thank you. And I couldn't get him to stop screaming. I'm looking at him and I look at my wife and we're like, the boy is not awake. He's just screaming at the top of his lungs and he doesn't even know where he is or what he's doing. He's just yelling. I need to wake him up. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll take him into the bathroom and dump cold water all over his head. I'm learning, right? I need grace from your kids. So I poured water on his head, and believe it or not, he actually woke up and kind of stopped screaming a little bit and then started again. So it didn't help. And I was getting really frustrated, and I didn't know if he was throwing a fit or if he was in pain or what was happening, but in my frustration, I spanked him because I thought he was throwing a fit. And afterwards, I realized he wasn't throwing a fit. And I had to repent to my 1.5-year-old. To my 1.5-year-old, I had to repent. I said, this boy ain't throwing a fit. I was just grumpy. It was 3 a.m, and I spanked him. And I had to repent to him. And I had to say sorry. And I had to repent to my wife. Because guess what? You still have to be Christians to your kids, even if they're 1.5. Amen? You got to be Christian to your kids. So... I didn't hear that. Oh, what did Noah do? He just looked at me and said, hi. That's how he reconciles. He goes, hi. And then you know he's good. We're best friends again. But we had a great time. It was a great trip. Had lots of fun. Had a good time with family and Noah, despite the lack of sleep. So it says, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. Toward one another. It's for people, right? You can't be humble in your thoughts. Has to be your actions as well. You can't just be sitting there and saying, my heart is humble. My thoughts are humble. And then get up and tell people how great you are. Humility is demonstrated in your interactions with people. It's where humility is demonstrated. So it says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud. God is opposed to the proud. Let's look at that word, opposed. We're going to break this scripture down a little more. Can we do that? I'm in a definition type of mood. Opposed. To place over or against something so as to provide a resistance, counterbalance, or contrast. says, God is opposed to the proud. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy opposition when I'm trying to do something. And this verse here tells us that God will oppose us if we don't deal with our pride. There's no second definition of this one. That's what it is. God is opposed to the proud. He's coming against your pride. Not just your pride, but the things you're doing that you're prideful of. You see, it's not just I'm coming against a heart thing. It's when you act in pride, he's coming against you. He's coming against you. So I read this and I say, whoa, I need to deal with my pride because I really don't want the God of heaven and earth to be against me. I really like it when he's with me. I really like it when he's with me. Remember we're talking about when you get saved and how you recognize you need this grace from God? I've seen time and time again, people get saved, they go back into the workplace or into school or into family life, and the things that they used to do really, really well, the things that they used to be gifted at, maybe you were able to slack off and work a little bit and still be the number one salesperson because it was just easy for you. You didn't understand how someone else could, you know, not meet the quota for sales. I see them go back and suddenly the thing that was easy becomes difficult. They used to be able to slack in this area and be the best, and now they have to try really, really, really hard just to be in the middle of the pack. And something's changed. And it's God trying to teach us how to be dependent upon his grace. And when we learn to be dependent on his grace, then that thing that he's given us to do starts to come back as we trust him and learn to work with him, right? But it's God wants us so badly to live in need of his grace and to understand what it means to walk in humility, because the opposite of that, pride, means he can't work with us. We position ourselves in a way that God cannot come into our circumstance. God cannot come into our situation. God cannot come and help unless we're humble. So he so badly wants us to live in a way that we understand, well, this is bigger than me. Life is bigger than me. I'm called to serve people. I'm called to go beyond myself. I'm called to reach beyond what my hands can touch. I'm called to bless. I'm called to serve. I'm called to give. This is who he wants us to be. This is the state of our heart that he's called us to have. And he wants us to live dependent on this grace, because the opposite of that is self-destructive. It removes the grace of God from our life, and it causes God to oppose us. Lastly, he says, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. So today, we're talking about grace. Everything good in my life comes from grace. I mean, there's nothing good in my life. There's nothing worth mentioning, nothing worth bragging about, nothing worth telling anybody about that's not because of the grace of God. 100%, totally just because of the grace of God. I mean, if you look at the gifts in your life, it's the grace of God. You look at the good things in your life, it's the grace of God. You're doing well financially, that's the grace of God. You're a good salesman, that's the grace of God. You're a good businessman, that's the grace of God. You have a healthy family, that's the grace of God. What, you think you got lucky? You think God just didn't like someone as much as you, so he put them in a worse family, you in a better family? No, that's by the grace of God. You have to look at those things that are good and holy and worthy of praise and say, oh my God, Jesus, this is because of you. This is totally because of you. I haven't earned this. This is not because of me. And when we recognize, wow, this is because of him, we live in a way that attracts the grace of God because we give him the glory for it. We live in a way that's attracting the grace of God because that type of humility creates a landing pad for God's grace. Amen? God sets up people in our lives. This is how he works. He sets up people in our lives that have or has a grace that we need. He puts people around us and he says, and he kind of waits for us and says, I wonder if they'll recognize the grace in this other person. I wonder if they'll recognize the thing that they have been praying for is on this person. If they just honored that person, they would begin to get the flow of grace into the life that's on the other person. You know how valuable it is to learn how to recognize the grace that's on someone else? Do you know how much it will impact your life if you learn how to walk in a way where you are recognizing the grace that's on another? It will set you up for victory after victory after victory after victory if you can learn to recognize, wow, God has put people in my life to set me up to succeed. You see, there's a flow of grace for your life. There's a flow of grace, and you don't get to determine where it comes from. All you do is get to decide if you want to get in on it. But it's for you. It's not for someone else to control you. It's just for you. It's so that you can walk into purpose. It's so that you can walk into destiny. Because you see, there's only one path to your purpose. There's not two. There's not three. There's one path to your purpose. And it's through the doorway of grace. And humility is the key that unlocks it. And you get to decide whether or not you want to get in line with the flow of grace that God has for your life. You get to make that decision. But the crazy thing about the flow of grace is that it's never a dead end. It's always moving. What do I mean by that? In the same way you receive it, you're called to give it. In the same way you line up with it and you're looking to get it, you better be turning around and looking, who's lining up so I can give it away? Yeah. I had a good friend call me a couple weeks ago or a week ago and says, hey, can you hold me accountable to, I want to line up with the grace of God in my life. Can you just hold me accountable to just reaching out and getting discipleship more? And I said, absolutely, 100%. But I'm going to challenge you to do something first. I said, I want you to start discipling someone. Because once you start giving away the thing that you want to get, you're going to watch. You're going to get it like that. He called me a few hours later. Guess what? I just met with somebody. I started giving away what I had. And immediately I started getting what I wanted. Immediately I started getting discipleship. Immediately I started getting filled. This is how God works. This is the grace of God. It's a flow. Pastor Carl said it last week. If it stops with you, it turns into a swamp and it gets icky and humid and moldy and you don't want it. Hallelujah. All righty. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want to give you the three A's of grace. The three A's of grace. You guys ready for this? The three A's of grace. Don't laugh at me. This is how God gave it to me. It's I got A's today. The three A's of grace. All right? You guys ready? Number one, grace attracts. The grace of God attracts. The grace of God makes you attractive. The grace of God makes you a landing pad for the favor of God. Makes you a landing pad for the favor of God. You see, honor requires humility. Humility attracts the grace of God. In Matthew chapter 3, it's talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a funny guy. The Bible calls him the greatest prophet ever. So that's kind of a big deal, right? And John the Baptist, his job was to make a way for Jesus. John kind of walked into his call a little bit before Jesus, and you see, the Father had it perfectly lined up. The timing couldn't have been better. He's like, I got this. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to send John, because John is John. And then he's going to help prepare the ground for Jesus, and Jesus is going to come in and save everybody, save the world and change the day. Amen? But John, well, let me just read it here. Matthew 3 says, now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan as they confessed their sins. So remember how I told you I read this stuff and I think, like, what would this person be like today? And I'm as I read about John the Baptist, I just picture a crazy man in the street waving a sign by one of the canals on 441, thinking, I'm not going to that person. I mean, he's got on camel's hair. He's eating bugs. He's got a crazy belt around his waist. The Bible literally says he's in the forest screaming, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's probably got a twitch on one side. Who knows the last time this guy showered? I mean, that's what I'm picturing. And you know, on Glades and 441 there, someone just saying, come on, I'm baptizing people. The Messiah's coming. And I'm going to say, who's this guy? He stinks, and he looks funny, and he's shouting really loud. I don't want to go anywhere near him. But what does the Bible say? The Bible didn't say people ran the other way. No, the Bible said that Jerusalem was going out to him. All Judea, all the district around the Jordan, they were being baptized by him. All of Jerusalem, all of Judea, they saw the crazy, screaming, stinky guy, and they ran to him. What? That's in the Bible. They saw the crazy John the Baptist and they ran out to him. They were probably going because they wanted to tell him he needed a bath and ended up walking into the presence of God and getting baptized. But here's the point I'm trying to make. The grace of God will make you attractive. Come on, even if in the natural it don't make no sense. And that doesn't mean you don't have to take a shower. You've got a shower. Okay, but listen, but God will make you attractive. When the grace of God is on your life, it will empower you for the purpose of God. This is what he does. You see, John the Baptist, he was anointed. And he was a powerful man of God, even though he stank. But listen, here's the point I want to make. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. And because he honored Jesus as the Messiah, because he recognized the gift that was on Jesus, because he recognized there's a grace on this man's life that I need. He didn't come proclaiming himself. What did he do? He came proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the grace of God landed on his life and made him attractive. You see, Jesus was younger than John, but John honored him as his elder. John made him his subject. I want to learn of you. What happened? That humility, that kind of humility for the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, come and say, no, I'm recognizing you as God. I'm recognizing you as Lord. We read that and we think, oh, it's easy. Jesus is God. Jesus is Jesus. But you don't recognize that John was older than Jesus. John was anointed and people wanted to make John the Messiah. And if you have an ounce of pride in you, someone comes up to you and says, no, you're the Messiah. Are you the one we're waiting for? If you have a little bit of pride in your heart, you're going to say, man, I can get some glory here. I can get some praise here. I can be somebody. But what did he do? He recognized the gift that was on Jesus, that he was humble. He knew the path to his promise. He knew the path to his promise. And what happened? God honored it by pouring out grace upon his life. And it wasn't always the fun path either. He was beheaded. Like, this wasn't an easy road, but he said, I'm choosing humility. I'm choosing humility. I'm choosing it. I'm recognizing the authority that is here with me, and I'm going to follow it. Amen. See, favor is not earned, it's given. Favor is not earned, it's given. You can't earn it. If you're taking notes today, number two, the favor of God assists you. Favor of God assists. Anyone here watch basketball? We're playing basketball. I like basketball. Almost tripped over myself. I like basketball. You can't have an ego if you're going to come up here. It's like, you know, it's like you're going to mess up. In basketball, the best teams know how to pass really well. And when you pass the ball to someone and they score, it's called an assist. It's actually a stat. It's called an assist. And you see, the thing about giving an assist is that the guy scoring gets all the glory. Like, he gets all the credit. Like, he gets to do the flashy stuff, you know, gets to be like LeBron and dunk it, you know, put it behind their back, or, you know, it looks good, you know. Steph Curry hitting the three, everyone shouts. But you forget about the guy who passed him the ball. You forget about the guy who set him up to score, right? And you see, the grace of God is similar to the guy passing us the ball, because it sets us up. All right, beautiful, can you pass me the basketball? Can I have those guys come up? We're going to do a little demonstration. You can pass it. No, we're passing today. Thank you. Assist. Okay, so guys, come over here. Can everyone see them? Okay, we're going to go through this a little slower than we practiced, okay? Mikey, I want you to come over here. Mike, come over here. All right, Mikey. Brandon, come on this side. Yeah, there you go. Come on this side. Brent, go over there, okay? Brent, go over there. Now, you see, in basketball, it's a team sport, and you need everybody on the team. You need to recognize and honor the gifts that are around you. But when you don't, well, this is what happens. Everyone's out for themselves, and nobody can get the ball. You see, Brent wants to score. Mikey wants to score. He doesn't know if he should score or pass, because these guys are barely moving. Brandon's getting frustrated. He can't score. That's called every man for himself, and that's not the game of basketball. Okay, hold on one second here. Okay, but when the grace of God comes into your life, watch this, ready? And you begin to honor the team around you. You see, what happened was they worked together. Brent set a pick on Brandon's man. Mikey faked Felipe, and Brandon's open for the score. You see, what happens is when you recognize the gifts on the teammates around you, grace makes a way for you to score. What happens is grace comes here and picks the enemy off your life here and fakes the lies out of your life here and sets you up so you can score over here. Come on. This is what grace does. It creates a lane in our life so that we can score the ball. Because when we recognize we're a part of a team, I need people in my life to come and help me out. Thank you, guys. Good job. Brandon, you can keep your ball. Come on. When we recognize that we need people in our lives to come and help us out. Pride says, me, get me the ball, I'm gonna score. I'm the all-star, I'm the MVP. Humility says, I need this team. I need this team. And when you get humility in your life, it makes a lane for you to walk through. But when you have pride, what do you experience? Resistance. You experience the enemy all up on you. The lies in your ear. You can't seem to shake it. You can't seem to get away from it. It's on your back. You don't know how to outrun it. But what happened? You get humble. You get humble and you go to someone else and say, hey man, this is what I'm dealing with. You confess your sin one to another and say, hey, can you keep me in prayer over this? You get humble enough to ask for some help. You get humble enough to go to your life group leaders and say, I need you to help me with this thing. I need you to help me with this thing. I'm having a hard time finding a job, or hey, my marriage is, I'm just having communication problems, or whatever it may be. And you go and watch the grace of God come into that area. Anything in your life, any area in your life that is not going well is lacking the grace of God. Where you see an area of drought, an area of lifelessness, an area where just like, what is happening? An area of chaos that just does not line up with the will of God. It's void of grace. You want to know how to get the grace of God there? Humble yourself. Go to someone and say, hey, this area of my life is woohoo, it's cuckoo. I remember early on in my marriage, I lost my job while my wife was going through school. And it was a good job. It was a job that could be like a career type job. And I was devastated. I was beside myself. I was just like, didn't know what to do. And my first reaction was, I'm just going to go apply for every single job that I can find. Every single job that I can find. Anything that's similar to it or like it or similar in pay, I don't care. And I just started applying for 3 days straight. Applying to jobs. And I finally got on my hands and knees and said, Jesus, help. Like I literally got fired, went to applying, didn't pray, I need to find another job. This is the answer. The job is the answer. And after 3 days of that, I just, Jesus, help me. Help me find a job. And you know what he said to me? This was 7 years ago. He said to me, your church is leaving on a missions trip in 2 days. Go on that. In 2 days, your church is going to Nicaragua. Go on that. I'm like, you know that trip costs money, right? You know I don't have a job, right? You know this doesn't make any sense, right? So I went to my wife and I said, okay, Lord, if this is you, my wife will agree, but surely it's not. So she's going to laugh at me. And I said, Sarah, what do you think about this? She says, I think it's a great idea. I said, I was like, all right, you're not hearing God. I know what I'll do. I'll talk to my pastor. I said, Pastor Carl, God told me to do this. Isn't this crazy? He's like, I think it's a great idea. I'll send you the flight information now. I said, I guess I'm going to Nicaragua. I went to Nicaragua, got completely wrecked by the power of God, and in that place, God gave me a business idea that supported my family for the next 2 years, that led me into a season that has impacted my life more than any other season. I was Pastor Carl's intern for those 2 years, got a job at the office. He received discipleship from my spiritual father every single day. You know how vital that is? I couldn't do that if I didn't have my own business. I had a business supporting my family. I was being discipled by my spiritual father every day, and it changed my life forever. Changed the core. I'm standing on this stage because of that season, because I got humble enough in that season to say, hey, Jesus, well, help. Go to someone and say, help me out. Humility attracts the grace of God, and the grace of God assists you, creates a lane so that you can score, sets you up for the win. Number three, if you're taking notes, the grace of God activates. The grace of God activates. This is what's going to happen to some people on the mission trip this week. They're going to get activated. Yeah. Activated. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, says, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Wasn't just full of power, full of grace and power. The grace of God activates. The grace of God empowers you. Grace is always accompanied with power. We look at Peter, the guy who wrote this book, and on the night that Judas betrayed Jesus, on the night that Judas betrayed Jesus and sold him off, betrayed him for money, Jesus told Peter, hey, you're going to deny me 3 times. You know the story. You're going to deny me 3 times. On that night, both Judas and Peter betrayed Jesus. But a couple months later, Peter was winning thousands to the Lord. And Judas suffered a horrible death. You see, after Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Peter humbled himself. He repented. Between that moment of denying Jesus and when he preached on the day of Pentecost and led thousands to the Lord, in that period of time, how many of you know God was doing something in Peter's heart? How many of you know God was doing something in Peter's heart? How many of you know the humility in Peter's life attracted the grace of God, and the grace of God transformed him into one of the greatest revivalists that's ever walked the earth? This is what the grace of God does. It takes someone who's afraid to even acknowledge Jesus. No, I don't know him. I'm not with him. And transforms them into a revivalist. Where Peter was standing and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come on, this is the Messiah. This is the one whom you crucified. This is the one. This is the one whom you crucified, who conquered sin on the cross and death in the grave. This is the one who's come to save you. Completely transformed him. Completely transformed his life. See, what happens is when we get in on the flow of grace, when we choose to say, Lord, I want to get to where you're taking me, no matter the cost or what it looks like. And we start to honor the flow of grace and the discipleship in our life. God makes us attractive. He makes a way for us and assists us to the purpose, and he activates us so we can walk in the call. I want to leave you with a couple of scriptures this morning. Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." Then in verse 9 it says, "Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace." You see, when you recognize the authority that's in your life, when you recognize and honor the word of God in your life, your spiritual mother and father, your natural mother and father, the people, your life group leaders, the people that God has set up in your life to help. What happens? The grace of God strengthens your heart. Are you feeling weary this morning? Are you feeling hopeless this morning? Are you going through something today? Is there a situation in your life and you do not have an answer? Come on, you need the grace of God. You need the grace of God. Come on, do you feel stuck? You feel stuck? You feel stuck in your relationships? You feel stuck into where God is taking you? Do you feel stuck in the call? Do you feel stuck in your career? Do you feel stuck? You need the grace of God. Come on, you need the grace of God. You got to figure out, where am I going to get grace and where am I going to give grace? Because there's areas of in my life that I just need to change. I want to challenge you, make a decision today. Make a decision today that you're going to get in on the flow of grace. Because he has it for you. He has it for you. There's grace for you. Come on, say grace for me. There's grace that's going to change your situation. There's grace that's going to change your circumstance. There's grace that's going to lead you right into promise, right into purpose, right into destiny. And today could be the day that you turn this area of drought into an area full of life. Amen? Stand with me. We're going to pray. Can I have the worship team on up here? Before you leave today, I want us together. You see, you can't get this from me. You can't get this from Pastor Carl. When I say this, I mean you have to ask God where the flow of grace is for your life. And if you call Revival Life Church home, then it starts on this stage on Sunday morning. You're going to get it from Pastor. Then you're going to get it in your life group. And you're going to get it in your ministry team area. And you're going to get it from your friends. But you have to ask God where's grace for my life? Where's grace for my life? Where's grace for my life? Where is it? And then you got to ask him, who's supposed to get what I have? Come on, you've been saved for 5 years. You've been saved for 2 years. You've been saved for 2 months. It don't matter. You have something to give away. Come on, and if you have been walking with the Lord for any period of time and you've never discipled someone, repent and tell, Lord, I want to give out what I have. I want to give out what I have. Come on, you've been walking with the Lord and you've never sat down with someone who's new in Christ to encourage them. Come on, it's time to give away something.
Yeah.
It's time to give away the grace that God has given you. It's time to give away the grace that God has given you. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace." You are under grace today. Amen. You're under the covering of Jesus Christ. He has good things for you. I'm going to pray for you, then dismiss you. We're going to have life group leaders up here at the front who will pray for you as well. But real quick before I pray, don't leave this place today without coming up for prayer. You can start today by honoring the people who are up here. Yeah. Honoring the people who are ministering under the power of God by telling them, hey, I got this thing and I need some help. Can you pray? And they're going to pray. And you'll watch grace come into that area just because you got humble and shared it. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for those that are here. I thank you that you have really good things in store for them.
Yeah, amen.
I pray that you would pour out your goodness upon each and every person, even now. Father, that you would pour out your grace upon each and every person, even now, Father, that you would show them the promise that you have for them, Jesus, that nothing can come between them and your goodness but themselves, Father. And I pray right now that a wave of your presence will begin to wash over. A wave of your goodness will begin to wash over, Jesus. You would breathe upon every heart, that you would pour down grace. You would pour down grace.